Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come together today to your word. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken us to our heart so that we, Lord, may be able to hear it, to receive it, to understand it, and to put it to work in our life. We thank you for that. We thank you for everything you have done. Lord, let your presence, Lord, make a difference, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, we're going to continue on our relationship with Christ. This is really probably the most important topic to know how to apply it, not to make it just be a theological statement, but a reality for us in our life, so that we can actually benefit from it. Okay. There is, the idea of being in Christ. How that works out, how that is implemented. Okay, there are different places in the Bible talk about that, but especially, I believe, in the book of John, Jesus himself showed us how to achieve that. There are many scriptures that are not just using the terminology, but actually explaining what goes on for that to take place. And generally, when you hear people talking about being in Christ, they refer always to the epistles. But really, in the book of John, there is much more than all the epistles put together. And instead of talking about it, is expanding, Jesus himself expanded on the principles and the concept that we had to have to understand to implement that idea in ourselves in a very practical way. And really, I think that, doing a study of the book of John in detail will give us more information about that than any other places in the Bible, in a very practical, down-earth way. I'm going to expand some of these things, some more. I was thinking actually of doing some kind of an exercise over a period of time to implement that idea in ourselves as a devotional, but I don't know, that takes a lot of work, so I had to really depend on the Lord. I want to make sure that's what the Lord wants me to spend time on, because it is going to take time. But let me say something, we have to understand, often this is, we are so focused on the physical that we often miss actually the most important part of ourselves, which is our spirit. Okay, this is where life is. That's why we are alive. When our spirit goes, this body dies. Okay, and so, without spirit, we aren't there. And when we are not connected with our spirit, which unfortunately, that is most of the cases of a human being, then we are really missing the most important part of us. We want to instead be able to make that connection, because that connection is essential for us to be connected with God. God is not a physical being on this world, except when he was in Jesus. Okay? God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when you talk about worship him, it's more than just, what people think about worshiping. Here he's talking about any way that we relate to him has to be a spiritual way, not a physical way. So you can see that, the way it was done even in the Old Testament wasn't the way that God wanted it. And Jesus himself told him to the woman at the well, okay, the day will come when, people will worship God in spirit and in truth. And this is those who that the what that worship that God wants. Okay, so we have to understand the implication of that and how it relates to us. Okay, we are spirit. That the life in us is spirit, and it's created. Okay, everything that is in physical is created by something that happens in the spiritual dimension. Even the physical world was created when God said and he, implemented his creation in the thing. But this, starting from the spirit is a manifestation of the power that came from God and that God implemented through his word and became material, but wasn't there. But see, what we have to understand, that God, before anything was made, he established principles and laws according to which everything will work in the physical and the spiritual. Okay. So what happened? Okay, that we are spirit, okay, that life came to man, it was just clay, when God breathed his spirit inside him. So that was critical for life. We have to understand that our life depends on the fact that there is a spirit inside us. The spirit may be dead in the sense that it's not connected with God, but there is still enough power to keep people alive up in the world. Okay? But there is not that connection with God anymore that may limit very much what their spirit can do. Because is when our union with God that comes into the picture, then there is much more power because all the power of God is available to us. Okay, so that's what we have to understand, and that's what God wants actually to happen. When he created us in a special way, in a special place in his creation, we were the highest element of creation of God. Wouldn't say looking around here, but in the world, but that's the way God sees us, and God cares enough about us that even after Adam made the mistake and essentially submitted himself to Satan, he still wanted to restore us. And the whole history of humanity is a question of restoration to the point where God wants us to be, to bring us where we were before the fall. Okay, and so he created a method for that to happen, okay, or approach, okay. But what God wants is to be able to communicate with us, to be able to, and with our spirit, we can communicate with the spiritual dimension. That means with God and other spirit. We are not much aware most of the time of that because we are disconnected from our spirit. That wasn't like that before. Before the fall, there was a full connection between, the soul and the spirit. But, with the fall, because the spirit died, then there was actually a partition put there that was not easy to penetrate or to go through. So we find it difficult to know what's going on in the spiritual dimension because even if we are born again, and we're going to see more about that, okay? But when we are born again, okay, that partition actually is removed. And God reestablished the communication that should be there between our spirit and our soul. Okay, the soul is the second part, but really the other part that is in us is the third one, is the body, which we are, is the place where we come in contact with all the physical world around us. And our senses is what the mean by which we are contacting them. So our senses, you know, provide so much information to us. And that's really freely communicated with, you know, and our soul tries to figure out things and try to be aware of what's going on in the physical, and hopefully should be aware as much as possible even what's going on in the spiritual. See, that's what the function of the soul is, to combine the two, so spirit and body, and to make sense of what's going on and to guide us into the process. Is, you know, mostly our soul is awareness of what's going on. This is where the awareness is located. Knowing what's going on, knowing that you are a person, knowing that what you are, knowing who you are, know what you can do. And we learned that in the world before we are born again, okay, by coming in contact with the physical things through their senses mostly. But this is just the physical part of the equation. It doesn't look up too much about the spiritual component. To understand there, we need to be born again. That's where Jesus said, and unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the where God is. You cannot come in contact with God properly. Okay. There's much more there, but this I'm summarizing because I'm going to move, you know. See, really, the spirit is the part we connect with the spiritual dimension and with God and with all the other things that have a spiritual content. Okay. Now, you know, when you are born again, another way to translate those words is born from high. Okay, we are really coming in contact. We are born into the spiritual dimension. That's what happens. And as we are born in the spiritual dimension, then we become more aware, or we should become more aware of what happens there. We start getting more, you know, the separation that took place there, it should be decreased, and we should learn to hear what happens to our spirit. Okay. So this is really God wants, God desire. God, from the beginning, when we created us, was to be able to connect with us, to have a relationship with us. Everything that has to do with our spirit has to do with our relationship with God. We have to understand that, and we have to participate in that, because this is God's desire. It's not, you know, the physical thing or nothing else that the result of what's going on in the spirit. And so that's what he wants to establish, for that he wants to have a relationship with him, which doesn't mean doing religious thing. The religion thing can be an expression of that. Okay, but it's not the really connection with God. The connection with God is what happens in our spirit, the spirit and in truth. We have to understand that, and then we can start participating in that without getting just involved into religious activities. God wants to have a relationship with us 24/7. Always there, he wants us to be, you know, in connection with him. And that's what Jesus did. What did Jesus say? I do nothing except what I see my Father's doing. That means, you know, everything he was doing was connected. This is the place we had to get to. That's what God wants to establish for us. That's what it means to be in Christ. When we understand that, understand that is our goal, then we start opening up and moving toward that, in that direction. You know, if you want to get a summary of some of these things, just read and study and meditate on John chapter 5 and chapter 6 to start with. Okay, that'll give you, and we are going to cover some of the things today, but that is really a condensation and an introduction to that in a really special way that Jesus himself taught. Okay. He was introducing us to that dimension, starting with himself, in which, you know, he was explaining the way he was operating, the way he was functioning on this world. You know, he said it there in John chapter 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, you know, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So now here, the Son, the word Son is huios, which is actually a mature son. He's not just a baby. Okay, so, you know, when he was a baby, he was a baby. And he didn't understand the same thing. And even within his ministry, we can see that he was seeking to know more and more about God. As Jesus. Christ knew everything, but, you know, as Jesus, he was growing, and the word says, you know, he was growing in stature and, you know, in the knowledge of God. Okay, so that is a process that he went through the same way as we go through, and he understood it, the way we had to operate and the way we can grow into our relationship with God. From when we are born again, baby don't understand very much except for the first step that they need to be taking, opening up to really start understanding and knowing God's way and to connect with and see God, knowing God's intentions. That is really the key. You know, really, you know, it says, you know, that the Son can see nothing in himself but what he sees. The word there sees is really, you know, blipo, which actually means to see both physically and, you know, spiritually, mentally. That means perceive as well. So it was not just a question of having a vision about what God is going to do. It's about having a perception, having an understanding. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Okay, Jesus was connected. What he was saying there is Jesus was connected 24-7 with God, and he was doing what God was telling, you know, was essentially showing that it was the right thing to do. All right? So, he had communion with God. Okay, so the idea here is, you know, just the following verse expands on this concept. Okay, 5 John 5:20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you will may marvel. So the idea here is telling us, okay, that the Father loves the Son. There was a loving relationship between the Father and Jesus. Jesus was loved by the Father. And because he was loved by the Father was revealing to him the things that he had to understand, the things he had to see. See, we can expect the same thing to be true for us. See, everything that Jesus said about himself and his relationship with the Father applies to us 100%. Okay? We are in the same boat, if you want. Body that he was in, with the same senses and the same feelings and the same experience that he had. He was tempted just as well and as in all ways as we are tempted. So we can say, you know, that was Jesus. See, that was the problem of religion for centuries, that, you know, Jesus was somebody that we could not even come close and reach and be like. God is God's expectation for us to be like him. That's what he's expecting from us. If he's expecting from us, that means that we can do it because God doesn't expect, you know, God is, you know, has enough sense not to expect from something from somebody that cannot do it. It's just that we have to participate. We have to be willing to go along with it and to learn a few things, understand a few things to be able to do it. I mean, it's true. I mean, relating with people in general is not very easy. And we have to learn to relate to people. If we don't learn to relate to people, we are going to have bad and poor relationship with people. Because we are going to mess it up all the time and we are going to misunderstand and produce misunderstanding. Are you following me? The same thing with God. If we misunderstand what he wants, if we think our own thing, and if there is no communication there, there is not going to be understanding, there is not going to be any positive things coming out of our relationship. Our relationship is to help one another, is to produce positive results. That's what God wants to do. He wants us, okay, and so he's communicating with us, but the degree he can communicate with us is the degree that we love him. Because if you don't love somebody, put in another word, love is just a funny word, okay? Now let's use, understand, value somebody, be open to somebody. So as you are open to somebody, then you are going to hear what the person is saying. But if you are not open to that person, you are probably going to misinterpret all the things that they do because you are judging things according to a different pattern or a different set of rules. And that relationship is not going to work. The only thing you're going to do is step on each other's toes. So the idea is here that there has to be that love to start with. And that love enables us to communicate properly. That means, appreciation, not being, blocked in the thinking, not expecting all the wrong thing to happen from the other person. Because when we do that, we automatically are going to interpret things the way that we want them, not necessarily the other person is trying to communicate to us. Communication to us, actually relationship, a very spiritual component of what we experience. Not just the relationship with God, but the relationship with people as well. This is why it's very important. We cannot be hermit. We cannot be isolated from other people and have really a relationship with God because we don't know how to relate to other people anyway. And God is like another person. We need to see our relationship with people, especially the people close to us, is an instruction, is a school for our relationship with God. Because it's easy to say, I'm okay with God, and we shut him off and we just don't listen to what we're saying, the things that are contrary to what we want to hear. We have to learn to hear everything and to deal with things properly in our relationship with people. And it's the same with God. Our attitude is critical for our ability to get anything from God. We have to understand that. We have to understand that our attitude determines what we are going to get. Okay, so we have to understand that, and we have to apply to ourselves so that we can actually benefit from that relationship. Because lots of people think, I'm okay with God, and they are completely off track. They just don't even understand what they're talking about. Okay, why? Because they don't understand relationships. They don't understand how to relate to others. They don't understand. See, this is a training. The world around us is a training for us to learn to connect with God properly. That's why I generally talk, I did even some teaching on supernatural relationships. And when we think of supernatural, we think it's necessarily big miracles. No, anything that has to do in the spiritual dimension is supernatural and produces supernatural results sometimes. Things that, in the world cannot do it. Because why? Because there is a spiritual power released from our spirit and from what we do, our position, spiritual position, that produces results that are beyond our physical capacity and abilities. We have to understand that. So, Jesus connected with the Father because the Father, because he was completely open. Because he was loving the Father and the Father loved him back. Okay. And that relationship, determined, his ability to hear from God all the time. And that is the same way exactly for us. We have to understand that if we don't hear from God, it's because we are cutting him off, because he speaks all the time. He wants to communicate with us. He created us so that he would have, you know, people ask to communicate with him and vice versa. He loves his creation. Now, you know, and the way it was operating with Jesus was the fact that he was, you know, was the Word made flesh. You know, was at the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. So it says there, you know, in the beginning was, you know, with God. So he was connected with God from eternity. But when he became a baby, you know, he didn't, you know, his mind, the mind of a baby didn't have that, and he had to grow. And, it, you know, how he did that is going through the Word and using the Word to really allow the Word to minister to him with the power of the Holy Spirit, explaining it and giving him revelation much better than we can when we are born and we are grown up until we are born again, because we are born, you know, separated from God. And we need to be born again. Now, when, you know, Jesus was connecting with God, didn't have that problem to start with, so he could move faster. Already when we just, it was, you know, early in around 12 or 13, he could, you know, knew more than the people, the religious leader of the time. Okay, now, we have to understand that for us, now as a born-again believer, we are in the same position that Jesus was when he was born. And we had to grow. And to grow, there are some things that we had to do. Okay? One of the things we had to do is to get informed about the spiritual things so that we can start understanding them. So that and the only way that we can get that is going through the Word or going to be exposed to people that are experienced and explain to us some of these things so that we can grasp them. But the bottom line is always us and the Holy Spirit. You can be exposed to people teaching the greatest depth of spiritual stuff, and you are not open to the Holy Spirit and you don't get revelation, you get nowhere. There has to be your component, and your component is really to be open to the truth, to seek the truth. Okay. Now, that explains lots of things that the Bible says about the way God works. But that is critical. Our attitude, our heart position is critical for us to receive anything from God. Okay? That is where we start things. And the way we had to operate is the same way as Jesus operated. That he said, you know, we started, I can do nothing on myself by what I see my Father doing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says very clearly, no, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. As, I want to repeat that, as to think of anything as being from ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God. Okay. The sufficiency is the word in Greek, there is ikanos, means to be qualified, to be competent, to be worthy, to be sufficient, to be equipped for what we need to do. So our sufficiency is not from us, it's from him. He provided us the ability and the sufficiency to get everything that we need. Now, that has to be our starting point. Okay, this has to be the place in which we position ourselves to be able to receive. Because if we think that our sufficiency is from our education, from our titles, from our social position, from our smartness or lack of it, we are going to get nowhere because we are going to be close because we value our ideas more than the ideas that come from our spirit. And we have to understand that that makes a difference. So we're going on, you know, to apply this a bit deeper. Verse 6, who also, okay, so our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So you see, he made us not just good for ourselves, but even in the way we minister to people, okay? Because he equipped us, okay? For the new covenant, the new relationship, the covenant, God works what through established covenant rules or established covenant principles. Okay? It's just a covenant, it's an agreement. It's, if you want, between two people that, okay, you do things and I'm doing that. And those two have to be met. If it is not met, the covenant is broken. Now, we can get established that the covenant between people and other people by ministering to them, making them understand the principle according to which God expects to minister and to function with them or to communicate with them or to direct them. So what they can expect from God as they do certain things. We need to understand that. It's not anything that we do or anything that we feel. Often feeling take us in a completely different direction. And we had to deal with our feeling before we are going to be able to hear anything. Okay. Now, in fact, often when we have something that we really want, we can't hear God. You are there trying to get him to say exactly what you want to hear. And you get nowhere. Okay. Now, so the Holy Spirit is the one that revealed to us the spiritual content of the word, by which we can communicate that to the people instead of making them to become legalistic and apply things that literally, you know, because that kills. That's what we finished reading. The letter kills is the spirit that gives life. So in the spirit has to call, talk to your spirit for you before you are going to get life from the word. You can get life from the word out of your own thinking. You need to get life from the world, from the spiritual dimension, because life is something spiritual. It's something that is in the spiritual dimension in which you already live. You are lived all the time, but you couldn't even see it. You are blinded, but, you know, with being born again, that becomes much better, more clear, and more, you can perceive it better. You can start seeing it, and you can start participating in that in a different way, because you are going to start to, you know, be aware. See, soul is the awareness past part. You know, be aware of the spiritual things, not just the physical thing. And the more you grow spiritually, what happens, you can see better and better the spiritual dimension, and the physical dimension is going to have less and less an effect on the way your soul think and judge and operates. Okay? So, that's the starting point, okay, that we have. So, now, what we see, okay, what often the word says, you know, by believing in Jesus, you have eternal life. You know, the fall in John chapter 6, I said John 5 and 6 are really good places to understand about relationship with God. John chapter 6, verse 47. We're going to follow quite a few verses after that. Okay, it says, most assuredly I say to you. You know, each time that Jesus said most assuredly, you know, we get used to certain way of saying, and we just think, you know, okay, you know, truly, truly, in some other translation. The fact is that the Greek implication there that, you know, you better believe that. Okay, getting more vernacular terms. You just better believe it, because that is the truth, and that's going to make an enormous difference in your life. That's what Jesus is telling us. Are you following me? So each time you read that, stop right there and ask yourself, what is that I better believe? Because it's going to help you to focus on what God is actually trying to get across to you, because this is what Jesus was trying to do when he said that. So, most assuredly I say to you that he who believes in me has everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Okay, now the problem is, What does it mean? That's the thing. I mean, first of all, what this means is to just believe in him. And we are going to see that it's not just, yes, pisteo, you know, just believe in faith or whatever. Just take it easy and let's go and see what he says about that. Because really, you know, how do you get there? You know, it's just because you hear somebody say something and sounds good to you. And yeah, you say, okay, I believe that. Well, that's maybe a beginning. At least you are open. But that's not the end of the story. There is much more that, and Jesus said that in many, many places. But we are going to get through that. Okay. So what happened? The result is that is believing Jesus produce eternal life. That means, you know, that you live eternally. That's one way of translation. What is eternal life? Another big thing, because it's a question of understanding, so spiritual truth that we, you know, we cannot really experience in the physical. Again, it's a spiritual experience that has enormous implication on the fact that we are going to actually, even physically, connect with God. Okay? So, it's not, you know, just saying a little prayer doesn't, or making it, oh yes, I want Jesus, doesn't, cannot produce that. Jesus himself said it. Now we're going to see that. Okay, so, you believed in me as everlasting life. I am the bread of life. That's it. That's an interesting statement. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. So, he is talking about, try to convey an idea. I mean, Jesus is evidently not a piece of bread. So, he's not talking about physically here, do you? Okay? What he's talking, what bread is the main staple for food that the people have to eat every day. Practically. Except me. But that's okay. Okay, but the idea is that, you know, that's something that we eat regularly is the major staples of our sustenance. Okay, and it says there, the bread of life. So, you know, is the what he is going to do is produce life in us, and this is what makes us live, evidently, you know, eating him. Now, that's really, you know, an idea that he pushes over and over again at this point, you know, just to make a point. Just to get people turned off. Jesus didn't preach so that people would like what he say. He was preached in ways so to push the buttons of people so that to see where they were. He did that all the time. Okay? Today, not many do that. Because they don't. They want a following. Jesus wanted the real following, not following people that, you know, people following him that just like what he said. But people following him because they wanted to follow him because they were following the truth. Okay. And we can see that. So let me continue here. You see, he compares himself, okay, with manna. Manna was the food that they were getting in the desert every day, okay, and they had to eat because they didn't have any bread, okay. Now, the fact is, as you know, they ate manna, it didn't do very much because they're dead. You know, the food that they give you, they make you alive. You know, and actually, quite evidently, most of the people that ate manna died in the desert, so it didn't even help them to get to the promised land. Now, one characteristic of the manna was that it lasted just one day. The following day, they had to go and pick it up again. The same way is bread, at least not today because they put lots of preservatives. And that's not bread, it's bad. Okay, what, you know, the bread too becomes stale and it's not that good anymore. Okay, it's the same thing about Jesus. You cannot eat him today and he's going to be good for tomorrow. You have to get every day and go and pick it up and get it again. That's what keeps you, that's what keeps the manna, you know, the same as the manna. You know, that's what keeps the life generating in you, because the life is generated by eating him. Are you following me? We need ongoing, continuously to feed on him, and that we are going to see in a moment what that what mean more in detail. But we need to connect with him if you want. With him, and you know, you cannot connect with Jesus a year ago and says, "Well, I know I'm connected with Jesus." Unless, you know, Jesus was not connected that way with the Father. He was doing nothing unless he saw the Father doing. That means, you know, he was working and walking and doing things. No matter what was going on, he was connected with the Father. The Father and him were in communion. He didn't need to go up on a mountain to be in communion with the Father. He was in communion with the Father. He was going through a cloud, and people were asking him things and trying to get healed. And he was in communion with the Father to the point that the power of God would go through him and heal people. He didn't need an orchestra playing religious music for 6 hours to get people worked up so that, you know, the Lord could move, quotation marks. I never saw Jesus doing that. And I don't believe that you had to do that. If you are not connected with God, you are not connected with God. It doesn't matter how much music you get, it's only flesh. It's only emotional reaction to the music, and it's not the power of God. Now let's continue here. So the implication here, okay, that Jesus, okay, is supernatural food that provided spiritual life in us. Okay? And this is important. You need, you know, you need more than just, let me go back what manna a moment, because that is interesting. Manna was a supernatural manifestation that they were receiving. Okay, that had nothing else than a symbolic meaning of the way it should be our relationship, feeding ourselves spiritually with God. So that was nothing else than a physical, you know, a representation of a shade of what it should be for us now with Jesus. When you were in the desert, they had to go and pick up the manna. Today, as we walk in the world, we had to go and feed on Jesus all the time. Okay? So, but the implication is, you know, that you need more than just witnessing and experiencing a supernatural manifestation to actually have life inside you. Because although there was a supernatural manifestation of the manna, didn't put life in them. They didn't get anywhere. They kept complaining all the time. When we receive spiritual food, which is really spiritual food, our attitude, our position, our connection with God should be moving up, and we should be able to connect better and better and not be at the same place. They were remaining at the same place, and they died in the desert. Just spiritual, you know, just experiencing or seeing spiritual things or supernatural thing happening is not going to change you. What is going to change you is when you see these things and you respond and you open up to the Holy Spirit and you connect with Jesus. And you feed on him, not on the manifestation. Are you still with me? Okay. Let me continue. Verse 50. John 6:50. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat it and not die. So here it is. You know, eating the bread is really something that we have to do daily, this bread. Okay, it's really connecting to the spiritual truth, explained symbolically to the Word of God. You know, the bread, it was something that we needed every day, like manna. Okay, and you know, so that's the thing. You know, Jesus, the way we connect with Jesus is the way we connect with food. And that is not physical food, evidently, but it's spiritual food. So we had to go and eat of spiritual things. And out of eating the spiritual understanding, the spiritual concept, the spiritual principle that Jesus explained, and understanding them properly so that our heart receives it, then it put us in a place in which there was going to be more eternal life, more life in us that is going to be manifested in the way we deal with the situations around us, the way, you know, that when, as we have this life, we'll be able to connect with God in a better way, hear from Him better, and do all the things that we need to do according to Him instead of according to the flesh. So, the following verse shows one of the key part of actually making this daily food on Jesus. Says, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, I mean, it seems like it's repetitious. Well, sometime for spiritual thing, you have to be repetitious because we are too dull to get it. Okay? Takes time for us to really grasp the meaning and the content of what the Word of God says because has to be spiritually discerned. We have to open up to the Holy Spirit. Bottom line, you can figure it out in your mind. You can analyze it, split it, even preach about it. And it's just nothing else but flesh. And I can see, you can see that very often. Nice 1, 2, 3 point things, but not dealing with the actual issues that can change your life. Okay. Here it says, you know, which came down from heaven, if anyone eats it, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which shall give for the life of the world. Now, strange, you know, this is talking about the living bread. I am the living bread. You know, we're talking about living bread, living water, everything living, living, living. Okay, what does it mean? It's not that alive, the bread. Evidently, he's talking about the fact that the result of having that bread, the result of having that life, that water, you know, the living water, the literal interpretation is running water. It's not like a well. And Jesus played games with words all the time. And if we go around with the flame, taking literally, we understand nothing. When he's talking about living water, means, you know, there's going to water, you know, drink that you have that make you alive, make you, give you eternal life. Same thing with living bread. He's talking about here. Okay. So, that you live forever. And when he said live forever, it doesn't talk, you know, a lot of people that are born again and they learn about Jesus die all the time. Have been dying for 2,000 years. So evidently, he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death here. Okay, or life. Okay. So, and the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So the flesh, okay. So first of all, live forever. That means, you know, that really, truly, spiritually, we are immortal. We are connected with God. Okay, we have, and when is the right time, we have a glorified body. That means a body that is nothing else than the result of our spirit and is not anymore constrained or limited by the physical laws. But their control is controlled fully by the spiritual aspect of our spirit. So it doesn't get sick, it doesn't get, you know, it doesn't die, it just lives forever. The way Jesus is. Okay? So, now, these things cannot be taken literally, evidently, because literally means nothing. We have to take them, understand, okay, the problem is, that was the problem with the Jews all the time. Verse 52 says very clearly, And the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give this flesh to eat? And they were all upset, and you can see that later on, you know, they couldn't stand it. Okay. And so that's the problem. They were looking at everything, taking the letter of the scripture, we're taking the symbol as a real thing. So, you know, talking about bread, talking about blood, for example, in the communion, well, they were really the blood and blood of Jesus. And so that's what some branch of Christianity think that way. Has nothing to do with this. We're talking about spiritual dimension here, not the physical dimension. There is nothing, you know, what the flesh is flesh, what the spirit is spirit. You cannot get spiritual things from physical things because they are lower down in the world. I mean, let me continue here. Okay, so Jesus responded to those comments from the Jews. Okay, in verse 53, and Jesus said to them, most assuredly, again, you know, you better believe it. I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of my son, of the Son of Man, and drink the blood, his blood, you have no life in you. I mean, they were upset already when he says, I'm the bread of life. Now he's just pushing it in. He's just rubbing on the souls there. He was saying something that, according to the rest, was blasphemy. Okay, he wasn't, you know, Jesus didn't take a course in proper collective, you know, knowing how to communicate properly with people. But he did communicate exactly the way he wanted, because that was the way to communicate these things, because he was trying to get a reaction from them. That's the key thing. You know, he was trying to trigger them, trigger the spirit that were in them, so that they would come out and manifest themselves. And they had to make a choice at that time. You see, this is what happens when one speaks the truth. There are always two reactions. The person is open to the truth. They listen and listen to the Holy Spirit, accept it. The one that don't, and they are closed to start with, they're going to react and get mad at you. Close the door and get upset. But at least you know where you are. That's what God wants to know. So when he's talking about eating and drinking here, he doesn't, you know, it's a question of assimilating. At the heart level, Jesus' teaching, doctrines, life, works. Okay. His flesh, evidently, you know, he was the Word made flesh. First John. Just John chapter 1. So he's talking about going to the Word and staying in the Word and meditating on the Word and allowing the Word to work inside us by observation, by meditation, by prayer, by seeking, by opening up to the Holy Spirit, by studying, and all these other things. Okay. Now, the same concept was applied for the Last Supper too. He was repeating the same thing again. Okay, and even there was evidently, you know, the objective there of eating the bread and drinking the wine. It was just symbolic. It was just remembering me. It wasn't doing any, you know, a incantation to bring back the thing back. Okay, so it goes in continuum. Verse 54: whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood as eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. So you see, evidently, he said, yeah, to give the possibility that somebody needs to be raised up. That means that he's going to die physically. Okay. And as you can see, it very really expanded very much in John chapter 11 and other places. So continuing at verse 55. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Actually, you know, I don't like the indeed part. Because actually the word there in Greek is aletos, which actually means real. Means, you know, this my translated, the reflecting what it says in Hebrew, in Greek, is my flesh is the real food and my blood is the real drink. Do you understand? So you see, he's not talking about, he's talking about the fact that that's what is going to feed you. Evidently, spiritually, he's not talking about you feeding you physically. Okay, so he's emphasizing the fact, see, you want to grow spiritually, you want to develop spiritually, you better eat and drink my teaching, you better assimilate and you better spend time with me regularly. And, you know, that's the way you are going to spend time with me regularly. Have a relationship with what you see in the Word, and what happens, you develop a relationship with what the thing is you don't, when you even don't read the Word, because the thing is already, you got used to be moving in from the physical dimension to the mental dimension. Your awareness becomes aware of the spiritual things that otherwise you cannot get. Are you following me? So it's critical to learn to properly meditate and to spend time with the Word and to allow the Word to be digested inside you, so that you know, you have that relationship with something that you don't see but is there, and this actually happen at the mental and spiritual level. So what he's telling us, okay, essentially, that we need to spend time with the Word and with Jesus, meditating, you know, allowing that process that we go through the Word to work in us, because that is going to bring about a reality. And the believing in Jesus becomes not just a mental thing, but it becomes an experiential knowledge that we get by actually experiencing a fellowship with him that happens ongoing, you know, repeatedly way, as we spend time with him on a regular basis, daily, so that we are not even reading the Word, we are still in that space because we are sensitized. From the time when we spend time there, focusing on it, opening up, and there is no interference with our physical senses distracting us. Are you following what I'm saying? You want to be in Christ, you cannot. You want to have faith, you cannot have faith without doing that, without feeding regularly on the spiritual food, without drinking of the living water that comes from his Word. You know, rather than going to him and spend time, so that we spend time all the time, then we end up walking like he walked, because he spent time with God all the time. And before even getting into the ministry, he exactly did that for 30 years, so that he was ready to connect with him. Praise the Lord. I think it's done. Yeah. Okay. Well, we got to a good point here. We see that we are not going to be in Christ by repeating a few scriptures, you know, about being in Christ. Or by just using a few scriptures to tell you, you know, when I can do all things in Christ who strengthen me. That's not the whole story. That's just one little element that goes together with the whole teaching, instruction, thoughts, ideas of the whole Word, the Word working in us and operating in us, so that becomes, his flesh becomes our flesh. Our flesh is influenced by all these ideas, these thoughts that are not physical, but they are coming from above. Then now we are open, because our desire is actually to be filled with those thoughts and ideas. And then we are going to manifest naturally. It's not effort to be in Christ when we have been doing that all the time. You cannot be in Christ by turning on a switch when you feel like it, and to be off Christ when you are going shopping or driving the car and somebody cuts you off and you are there, you know. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Well, I think we There's celebration going on today. I think it's time. So we're going to close in prayer for now. Do you get anything today? Okay. Praise the Lord. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Enable us to go to your word with an open heart, with a desire to know the truth, that the truth may set us free from our thinking, from religious ideas, from bondages, from limitations that we can inherit from the world we have been around. Help us, Lord, to be open, to want, to have fellowship with you. And in that fellowship with you, we may grow in our spirit, in our relationship with you and with the Father. The Lord, we may love you more and more and be more and more open to your direction, your word, your correction, and your power to be manifested in our lives. Thank you for everything you have done. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.